The Gospel according to Mark, the 3rd chapter. Jesus went home, and the crowd came together again so that Jesus and the disciples could not even eat. When his family heard it, they went out to restrain him, for people were saying, "He's gone out of his mind." And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, "He has Beelzebul, and by the ruler of the demons he casts out demons." And he called them to him and spoke to them in parables. "How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand. But his end has come. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his property without first tying up the strong man. Then indeed the house can be plundered. Truly I tell you, people will be forgiven for their sins and whatever blasphemies they utter. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit can never have forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. For they had said, 'He has an unclean spirit.'" Then his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, "Your mother and your brothers and sisters are outside asking for you." And he replied, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And looking at those who sat around him, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Well, that first reading that you heard from Genesis, I imagine a fair number of you probably recognized that one. What happened before that reading? This is where the visitors go, and this is where the regulars go, "Not again." What happened right before this? What? Creation? Thank you. What happened in between creation and this? What's that? Russia. Corruption. Okay. Yes, the fall, right? The eating the apple. Now, it helps to know when you're reading Scripture, what kind of Scripture you're reading. Because Scripture is not a monolithic thing. Scripture is a lot of different kinds of writing brought together. In the prophet Isaiah, when he speaks of the Israelites returning from exile to the promised land, and he talks about the mountains singing for joy and the trees clapping their hands, I think we understand that that is poetic language. That trees don't literally clap their hands and mountains don't literally sing. Sound of Music notwithstanding. We understand that that is not to be taken literally. By the same token, when we hear about talking snakes, chances are we are supposed to understand that this is not supposed to be taken literally, that something else is going on. If we ask the question, "Is this literally true?" that's a question that would have baffled these Israelite storytellers who told this story. Because the point isn't, is it true or not? The point is, what is this story trying to tell us? Now, what often happens is you can find, you know, just like in Aesop's fables or something like that, you can find the moral at the end. You can find the meaning at the end when the story gets summed up. And in the case of this one, we hear, this is why women have such pain in childbearing and yet still want to have children. This is why men have to work so hard to earn their food. It's a story designed to explain these things, but like so many stories like this, it explains so much more. Now, I think most of us have already accepted that this story is not literally true, because if you go back and read it carefully, what it says is that God gave to Adam and Eve all the plants that bear seed and all the trees that bear fruit that bear seed. So if you like bacon, you're already putting a little interpreting spin on this story. And in today's reading, you'll notice that he only talks about the plants that Adam's going to grow. But notice what happens when Adam and Eve bite that apple and this story begins. God finds them, and where are they? Hiding. There you go. Good man. Was that you? Oh, I'm so sorry. You got one right. Ron, write that down. Yeah, they were hiding because they were embarrassed. They were afraid. Because they wanted the power to know good from evil. And guess what? They got it. And the first thing they became aware of is evil in themselves. And how do they respond to that revelation? When God asks Adam, did you eat of the fruit of which I commanded you not to eat? What does Adam say? She did it. She did it. She told me to eat it, and I did. And so God says to Eve, what is this thing that you have done? And what does Eve say? The snake did it. The snake tempted me. And then the story gets real and the snake can't talk. I'm not sure who the snake might have blamed if it had the chance. But the first casualty of sin is community. In that instant, the community with God is broken. The community between Adam and Eve is broken. And the community between humans and the rest of creation is broken. Our first response to the revelation of evil in ourselves is to try to cast that evil onto somebody else. And once we got that power to know the difference between good and evil, we wasted no time in pointing out the evil in other people, hoping that God wouldn't notice the evil in ourselves. And we've been doing it ever since. I just got back from a bit of vacation, and it started in Baltimore, and we had a day there with Ruth's sister. And she took us to this event called Baltimore in Conversation. Do any of you listen to the Moth Radio Hour by any chance? All right, never mind. It's a radio show that is devoted to people telling true stories about their lives. And it's fascinating, all the more so because they are true stories. Well, this was a local version of that. They give people a stage, a microphone, and they invite them to come tell some story about themselves. And this evening was given over to the theme of resilience. And one of the speakers who spoke was someone who was in the midst of transgendering. Her name was Deborah. And she told this story that began with her first realizing that she didn't feel right in her body. That the person that she thought that she was didn't look like the person that she saw in the mirror. And of her struggling to understand what that meant and what that might mean for her future. And she told an incredibly painful story of the rejection that she received from her family, from her friends in school, tragically from her church. And as the story went on, I realized that, I don't know, maybe I daydreamed for a moment or something, but somewhere along the line, I lost track, and I had forgotten whether Deborah was a man who had changed to a woman or a woman who had changed to a man. And I realized that there were just enough confusing parts of the story that I was no longer sure. But then I also found myself, I stopped trying to fit her into a pigeonhole. I stopped trying to assign her an identity and just started listening to this story, this all too human story of brokenness and redemption. Redemption in that, thankfully, her story didn't end with rejection and with pain, with humiliation, with shame. But she found a community of other people who were struggling with sexual identity, who embraced her for who she was, who reminded her that she was loved no matter what anyone else said, and who supported her and helped her grow into a wonderful, valuable human being who became a leading doctor in the area, who helped other people dealing with transgender issues to come to grips with that. In short, she finally found what the church should have given her to begin with. We live in a broken world. No one can argue with that. And the first sign of that brokenness is our willingness to cast it on to others. To try to demonize others so that we can feel a little better about who we are. But at the end of this story, we get that reminder that we are dust, and to dust we will return. In other words, we are even underneath that snake. We are the dust that that snake crawls through. And yet, incredibly, miraculously, we are embraced by God. As God did at the beginning, so God does again. God takes up that dust and forms it into a living being and breathes life into it. Breathes life into each one of us at our baptism. There we receive that reminder that the breath in us is not our own but is divine. And because of it, we are, no matter what we think of ourselves, no matter how broken we think we might be, no matter what shame it is that we might be hiding deep inside, hoping that no one will find out, God knows it and loves us anyway. God embraces us just like we are. And confirmands, if you remember nothing else about all the classes that we had together, please remember that. Because there's going to be times in your life when it is just going to be awful. There are going to be days when you're going to wonder what you are worth. When you're going to wonder who cares for you. When you're going to wonder if you could possibly be acceptable to God, let alone anyone else. And the answer you receive at this font is an emphatic yes. Don't ever forget that. And don't ever let the people around you forget it. Because we are the community of God. And sometimes we do it badly. But we keep coming back and we keep hearing the story again and again and again. We keep hearing about this Jesus who goes out to these most broken of people and reminds them that they are loved and accepted and that they too are part of God's kingdom. This is the place where we practice embracing other sheep into the one flock. This is the place where we risk loving others because we have been loved ourselves. This is the place that we and all others belong because this is the place of grace. The same grace from God that embraces Adam and Eve. The same grace that has been embracing all of God's broken children throughout the ages. The same grace that lets Jesus look at this scattered and broken band of disciples gathered around him and allows him to say, here are my brothers and my sisters. Here is my family. Confirmant, you are part of the family of God. We are part of that family, and nothing will ever change that. Amen.